ahead of the midterm, some Republicans running for statewide office in battleground states are proposing changes that could impact future elections.
Candidates have talked about legislation that could let state lawmakers review vote counts and accept or reject election results, trying to get everyone to re-register to vote. So some of those things are more extreme than we've seen in the past.
And why former President Donald Trump doesn't have to release his tax returns, at least not yet. Plus, how to relieve middle managers feeling the squeeze. It's Tuesday, November 1st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Supreme Court Justice John Roberts has temporarily blocked the release of former President Donald Trump's tax returns to the House Ways and Means Committee. The order delays the court's decision until after the midterm elections next Tuesday, and the House committee has until later that week to issue its response. If Republicans win control of the House, they would gain control of the committee and are unlikely to renew requests for Trump's tax returns. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has denied South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham's emergency plea to avoid cooperating with a Georgia grand jury investigating alleged election interference in 2020. The jury was convened to investigate alleged efforts to subvert President Biden's election victory by pressuring state officials to falsify the outcome. Graham has denied wrongdoing. Brazil's President Jair Bolsonaro has vowed to respect the nation's constitution after losing the presidential election to Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Bolsonaro made his first public comments today after a tense silence of 45 hours. He did not comment on the results of Sunday's runoff. We report exclusively that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia are on high alert after warning of an imminent attack from Iran on targets in the kingdom. That's according to U.S. and Saudi officials. The White House National Security Council said it was concerned about the warnings and is prepared to respond. Saudi officials say Iran wants to distract attention from widespread protests. Iranian authorities have accused Saudi Arabia, the U.S., and Israel of instigating the demonstrations. Protests began in Iran in September after a 22-year-old woman, Mahsa Amini, died in police custody. She was arrested for allegedly violating Iran's strict dress code. Open enrollment begins today for medical coverage under the Affordable Care Act. 33 states rely on the federal marketplace healthcare.gov. Enrollment has surged under President Biden, whose administration, alongside congressional Democrats, has expanded subsidies and eligibility requirements. In August, Health and Human Services said it would invest just under $99 million in grants to organizations that help people sign up for plans, the most of any such funding to date. Our health policy reporter, Stephanie Armour, says opponents of the health care law say it will contribute to rising inflation.
Critics of the health law say that this is driving up inflation and that there really is no incentive for insurers to lower their premiums because so many consumers are cushioned from the impact of the higher premiums. They're saying the insurers can go ahead and raise the premiums and they're not going to lose their customers because the customers aren't paying more. The subsidies are covering the difference. But then again, proponents of the ACA say, you know, yes, the subsidies cost some money, but they make such a big difference down the line in terms of how many more people are covered and lower overall health care costs for the country.
Compared to last year, 2.8 million more consumers get financial help on their premiums through the ACA. The enrollment season ends on January 15th. And Pfizer says its experimental vaccine significantly reduced the risk of severe cases of the respiratory virus known as RSV in infants. Among mothers who received the shot, their infants had an 81.8% lower risk of developing severe infections requiring medical attention within 3 months of birth, as compared to mothers who received a placebo. Pfizer plans to submit the results to a peer-reviewed scientific journal. If approved, the shot would be the first for RSV, which results in 58,000 hospitalizations a year of children under five and between 100 to 500 deaths annually. Coming up, a number of Republican candidates running for statewide office in battleground states are proposing changes that could have implications for the presidential election in 2024. More after the break. We've been talking a lot about House and Senate races heading into the midterms. Democrats are projected to lose one, if not both, chambers of Congress. But there are also key races for governor and secretary of state that may have an impact on how future elections are decided. Some Republicans running for office in key battleground states, including Pennsylvania and Arizona, have expressed skepticism about President Biden's 2020 win over Donald Trump. Some are proposing changes to voting access and election certification. If those candidates are successful, they could influence elections not only in their own states, but also the presidential race in 2024. Catherine Lucey covers the White House for The Wall Street Journal, and she joins me now with more. Hi, Catherine.
Hey there. How's it going?
So, Catherine, can you start by giving us a sense of some of these proposals? What are we hearing from candidates in some of those key races?
Yeah, we are hearing a range of things from candidates running in some of these key battleground states for governor and secretary of state about changes they would like to make to the voting process. And, of course, they're not detailing everything. We should be clear. I mean, some of them have been pretty vague. But some of the things we've heard about are proposals we've heard from Republicans in recent years as they've tried to pass voting laws in states. And then those include things like tighter voter ID laws or limiting absentee voting. But we've also heard ideas that go further that we haven't heard so much in the past. Carrie Lake, who's running for governor in Arizona, for example, has talked about opposing the use of electronic voting machines, preferring hand counting. One election expert I talked to was very clear that there's no evidence to show that this would be better, that this is more costly and more time-consuming and less accurate than doing electronic counting. Other candidates have talked about legislation that could let state lawmakers review vote counts and accept or reject election results, trying to get everyone to re-register to vote. So some of those things are more extreme than we've seen in the past.
Talk more about Carrie Lake, who, as you said, is running for governor in Arizona, where she is the Republican candidate. She's been pretty vocal about the changes she wants, and she told our colleague Eliza Collins that she's got the support of her party.
I don't believe what the, you know, corrupt media is saying, that, oh, the party is not going to come. They have completely come behind us.
Catherine, to what extent are issues of election integrity gaining traction among the GOP?
Certainly, this is an issue that a lot of candidates are talking about. And broadly, I think you hear from voters on both sides that concerns about election integrity and the state of our democracy are concerns. And certainly, you know, President Trump's claims about the 2020 election have, you know, really been embraced by a lot of the Republican Party. That's absolutely true. So this is the landscape right now. There are a lot of people who do question that election. And we should be really clear that there is no evidence of fraud, certainly widespread fraud, that would change the results of the 2020 election. But there are a lot of people who really take what he has said seriously. Another thing that a number of people raised to me was, even if these candidates, if they are elected, don't ultimately have the ability to make giant changes to the process or the laws, even their rhetoric, if they continue the kind of rhetoric that we've heard from Donald Trump, questioning election results, undermining election results, that can have an impact, too, on the public and how they view the integrity of the process. And that can be meaningful as well.
In regards to some of the election proposals we've discussed, most of these couldn't just be unilaterally imposed, right? There would be some other checks or processes they'd have to go through here.
Yeah, it's a mix of things. I mean, there's some things that secretaries of state could do unilaterally. But yes, lots of major changes would require legislation. That would require a legislature and a governor. Even if that happened, there could be legal challenges. So there are processes here. Some of what you saw following 2020 was states like Wisconsin, for example, where, you know, the governor is a Democrat and the legislature is a majority Republican, and he pushed back against some of the things that they wanted to do. And so one thing that could change in some of these states is if you have one party really controlling all of these jobs, that could look a little different.
As much as we can project potentially onto the presidential election in 2024, what impact do experts see these proposals potentially having on elections going forward?
Yeah, there's a couple things going on here. Democrats and election observers are raising concerns about some of the ideas that these candidates are talking about on the trail, about ways that could potentially restrict access to voting. But they are also raising concerns about what this will mean for vote counting or accepting results going forward. What could it mean, for example, if in a key state with a close result, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, Nevada, the governor or the secretary of state refuses to certify the election results?
Wall Street Journal White House reporter Catherine Lucy. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, in companies across America, senior leaders make rules for returning to the workplace. But when it comes to enforcing those rules, the responsibility is often falling to middle managers. And they're getting squeezed from above and below. That's causing them to report higher stress levels than at any other position, according to a survey by the business consortium Future Forum. But it doesn't have to be that way. Brian Elliott, executive leader of the Future Forum, says senior leaders can help by recognizing that the role of middle manager has changed dramatically.
They now need to be coaches, right? Your job as a manager is to coach a team in terms of their performance, to give them greater clarity around what their roles are, to help them instill purpose. And honestly, it's to do something that's really hard. It's to build psychological safety, to build trust within a team of very different individuals. And that's a very different set of skills to have. That old job was far easier.
The latest episode of the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast has more on why middle managers are feeling the squeeze and how to fix it. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal.